to Speak Up Las Cruces with co-host Nancy Baker, myself, Peter Goodman, and our guests this half hour are John Andazola and Dolores Gomez, and they're both doctors, been practicing here for quite a while. And
Dr. Andazola is with La Clinica, and Dr. Gomez is the new board chair of the NMPCC, which stands for
the New Mexico Primary Care Training Consortium.
Excellent. Thank
right.
you.
And Mario from that is sitting over on the piano bench watching to make sure you don't screw up.
I don't think so.
Well, he's taking pictures anyway. But yeah. Want to talk about really two related subjects, primary
Absolutely.
Care and
yes.
its importance. And I, from stuff you sent me, I learned a little on that subject last night. But also the importance of residencies.
Yes.
Some people may not even know what a residency is, so why don't you explain it?
You want to get started?
Sure. I'll explain that. So after a person goes through medical school, which is 4 years of training, they then pick their specialty and what they want to pursue, and that's what residency is. And for family medicine, that's 3 additional years after medical school to help continue to kind of refine and improve their knowledge in mm-hmm. family medicine.
And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people confuse medical students and residents.
Yes.
And, you know, that medical student, is that a resident? But they're different.
Yes.
So really, medical school is laying down a foundation, but you become a doctor in residency. And
yes.
to be able to practice, you have to have residency. And usually 3 to 7 years of extra training before you can get your license and actually practice.
Right.
And you're paid and everything. It's not like you're an intern.
Exactly right. It's a job.
Yeah, and you're contributing. You are treating people.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, not hanging your own shingle out in the wilderness somewhere.
Right. And it's under supervision, and it's a learning process.
Yeah.
And what's the importance of that to somebody who's listening?
Well, you know, I think the importance of it is its first step in making a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really, maybe it's second step in making a doctor. But it's really where
I think it's the third step.
Yeah, it could well be.
I think the instinct and desire that makes you guys go through zillion years of all this to end up having to treat jerks like me.
I think ultimately it's really where you become a doctor.
Yes.
And that's the foundation of it.
And there's also there's a political importance to it, for lack of a better way to put it, or really a medical importance.
I'd call it a public policy more than political.
Yes, that's funny. You're better at public policy. But explain to people, what difference does it make whether somebody does a residency here or in Sheboygan, Ohio?
Yes, I think that's really, really, really important, because there's really good data that shows where you finish your training is where you practice, right? And so there's published data that comes out every year that tracks where doctors end up, and most medical schools retain about 35% of their students,
mm-hmm.
okay? Residents usually retain about 50% of their residents.
That's impressive.
All right.
It was 55 or 56.
Well, if you do family, and it depends on specialty. So if you do family medicine, psychiatry, their retention rates are 70%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting. If you do medical school and residency in the same community, 70% of those people will stay in that community.
Well, they've really built a lot of effective ties, families, friends.
Exactly right.
They're part of a community now.
Right, and they get to know other doctors.
Married
they
people.
Get to refer to.
You know,
they know the hospital.
Learn where you can play bridge or golf. Or
absolutely. They start building a family and making connections. And it's nationwide. That's been demonstrated decade over decade.
And it also is true here if you look at New Mexico alone, right?
Absolutely. And so, you know, I'd love to talk about the residency in Las Cruces, and I'll let Dolores talk more about it. But the residency was established in 1996 and has graduated 164 residents. And I'll let you tell them how
tell
great
us.
We are.
Yeah. So I think the whole foundation of when the residency started was really this idea of putting trainees in a community that hopefully they will eventually serve. And so our residency has really held on to that, and really we want to train and retain those residents in our area. Mm-hmm. And as John stated, you know, we just graduated our last cohort just last week.
Congratulations.
So we have now graduated 164 residents since the inception of the program. And we have about 90 residents who have stayed in New Mexico. So that's 90 more positions that have been created by having this program in our community, and a good portion of those have stayed in the southern part of the state and in Doñana County.
That's huge.
Which we know the number of counties within New Mexico that have physician shortages is pretty innumerable, and we're being able to contribute back to our community to have these residents trained and staying in our area to provide their practice.
Yeah, one of the things that impressed me when I was looking at the map that Mario had sent of where residencies occur, they're all over the state. I mean, obviously Albuquerque has the most, but Las Cruces has a number also, and then some of these little small communities around the state. I just think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great thing. You know, UNM has been in New Mexico for a long time, and they have been training residents for quite a while. But, you know, they had this idea of how do we get out to these smaller communities.
Yes.
We know rural areas are often physician shortage areas. And when our program started, if you were to look at those maps and look at them year over year, a lot of where they trained was in that upper part of I-40 and staying in that area. Now with our program where it is, you're starting to see those dots fill the southern part of the state.
That's exciting.
How can we, the public, help continue that great work and expand that great work? Because as I see it, we're short of doctors. Everybody on both sides kind of yammers about the malpractice and all the lawyers, and that's certainly a factor, but it ain't the only factor. Mm-hmm. And the residencies that you've just demonstrated is a major factor. If you got, you know, 200 more doctors to do their residencies in Doñana County, we'd have 100 more doctors, maybe 105, as soon as they graduated. So how do we make that happen and expand it?
Well, I'm going to let John talk a little bit about what the state's doing, because he's been very involved in that. We have to continue to promote the idea of training residents in communities where they will ultimately practice.
Yes.
And really what we need is to really build on primary care. You know, I'll say we're being a little biased from a family medicine standpoint, but definitely if you look at family medicine, it is one of the only specialty that really can help promote health within a community. And so I think getting that word out and why that's important.
It can do preventive stuff that others can.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think
public education.
I think you showed me some figures that, you know, if in a community there are fewer of any other kind of doctors, doesn't really make that much difference to overall health. But if you have fewer family doctors, there's an immediate impact in the community overall health.
Absolutely.
So what is the state doing? What should it do? What should the county or the city do?
Oh boy. I will tell you about that in a second.
I know you want to talk partly about why primary care is important.
No, I do want to. So I think they're all tied.
We'll get to it.
They're all tied together because it's foundational. How you get primary care doctors is you build residency programs, right? And I think I would want to reinforce for the listener how important this residency has been. It's a primary care residency, right? So we're training primary care doctors. I counted last night real quickly, trying to figure out what doctors are in this community that came out of the residency program.
Uh-huh.
There's 35 doctors in Las Cruces that came out of this residency program. They are in your ERs. They're some of your ER docs. They are your hospitalists. They're delivering babies. They're teaching in the residency. They're in every single one of our federally qualified health centers. They are – that's an example of investing in primary care, because they can do all of those things.
Yes.
You know, taking care of children, delivering babies, and focusing on wellness. And so the investment in a primary care residency is an important investment for the state, right? It's been demonstrated here in Las Cruces. It's been demonstrated at UNM. And interesting, before this residency started in 1996, all training of doctors was done at Albuquerque. And you could draw a line at I-40, and that's where all the doctors are.
Yeah.
Since this residency started down here, we've trained. We have people in Alamogordo, in Hobbs,
in Silver City.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So,
and you were personally running it at one point, weren't you?
I ran the program for a long time, 15-ish years.
Congratulations. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. So they always say that you're a recovering program director, so I'm a recovering program director. So these investments are really important. And the way residency programs are funded, it's funded through Medicare and Medicaid dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that funding goes directly to hospitals, right? And what I would like to do and what we've been working on is really getting that funding to those communities where doctors will work and where they're trained. So federally qualified health centers, critical access hospitals, and places like that that are not eligible for this funding. And so I actually have been working for many years with Medicaid, and we've done a lot of developments with Medicaid and been able to get some money flowing. But to train one doctor, it costs about $200,000 to $250,000 per doctor per year.
Mm.
And that's a lot of investment.
Good segue, but Senator Bill Soles sat in that chair a few months ago and said, gee, I think we ought to, the state ought to fund more of these. Any action on that coming, or are you guys pushing it? Or?
Well, we've done a lot of things. Last year, we worked with Senator Steinborn and Representative Small, and they've heard about me trying to work with this money to get Medicaid to fund these positions. And we had some meetings with the Secretary of HCA, Healthcare Authority. And, you know, at this point, they are overwhelmed with all the changes in Medicaid.
Sure.
And, you know, because of H.R. 1 and the president's mandate to help bring the cost of spending down, which is tough. And it's hard for the state, and it's really moving in the wrong direction. But that being said, the secretary didn't want to pick up addressing these issues. So Senator Steinborn said, John, how can we do this? And I said, you know, I have two programs right now. There's one in Lovington that's at a critical access hospital.
Mm.
And there's one here in Las Cruces, the Family Medicine Residency Program. And it's actually kind of split in two. It's shared with La Clinica de Familia and Memorial Medical Center.
Mm.
And I'd love the whole program to be under La Clinica de Familia because they're learning in a federally qualified health center really that serves a huge portion of our population, our most needy patients. And I said, I'm going to need $9 million. We partnered with UNM at that same time, who was looking for $15 million. And in House Bill 2, we got $24 million this year.
That's great.
Now, that's a one-time expenditure, and I got to be able to show the state that this is working. The legislature as a whole is behind this, and they want to see this work. UNM has really been doing some incredible work. And so we're working all across the state to support these programs. And UNM has said, let's get this money invested in Las Cruces and move this residency to La Clinica. And they've also talked directly to the people at Lovington and in Silver City and in Shiprock. And there's been a lot of movement to get this stuff up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next step is for us to continue to talk to the legislature about renewal.
Something that's sustainable.
And continued funding.
Yes.
Yes.
Not just year by year.
Exactly right. So I think this funding is a bridge till we get to the long-term funding, specifically the strategies with Medicaid, or like what Senator Soles was talking about, is like creating a trust fund and investing that, using that state money, put it aside and draw on that interest year after year.
Yeah, and of course, it lowers medical costs.
Yeah.
Primary care, you know, helping people with health care at the ground level, then you don't have the disasters down the line.
Yep.
It's such a smart decision on so many levels.
I want to digress to a more practical question. not being a doctor, I hear you talk about these people practicing under supervision. Then I hear you talk about them practicing in, you know, wherever, New Mexico, population 20. Very, you know, good drive from Las Cruces. So how do you combine those two? In other words, keep some, whatever the requisite level of supervision is, keep that in place, but do what we want to do, which is have more people practicing out in the sticks.
Wow. That's a kind of a chicken and an egg thing, right? We don't have any doctors, but I need doctors to train doctors. And it's true. That is absolutely true. You know, I think you start with what you have in those communities. So
the answer is those are places that already had a good doctor or two or
absolutely.
Clinic. Or,
okay. Absolutely. And then you build support around them because they need help in learning how to be a teacher and how to be an educator and how to support that. And so the New Mexico Primary Care Training Consortium was actually founded a decade ago-ish. It's actually 12 years now, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
13 years ago. Mm-hmm. To do that sort of thing, to support rural residency programs.
And you're now the chair of the board, right?
Chair of the board, and I'm actually in John's old role as the program director for our family medicine residency program. So, you know, I think you build within the community. You know, you guys probably already know this. John was born and raised in Las Cruces. And so, you know, giving back to your community is a really big thing. And as we recruit residents in, you can't get all of them from the community. But you looked to do that. It's those pipelines that you create within your community to say, hey, this person is from Las Cruces. They're interested in being a physician. Let's get them trained in this area, both in medical school. We've got two in New Mexico. We have Burrell. Uh-huh. We have UNM. And then keep them here by going to a primary care residency.
Uh-huh.
And then that way they're like, I know this community. Uh-huh. You know, that's my mother's best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get them there. You know, we've had residents who are from Lordsburg. We have them from Deming, and they want to go back into those communities, or they just build those relationships. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, just talking about New Mexico and how the community in New Mexico really is very open to people being here. And I think when you see that, you learn a little bit more about New Mexico, and it makes it really hard to say, I want to leave.
Yes.
And so they want to stay, and they want to go to these communities and be part of those communities.
So is there any work being done, say, with the some of the undergraduate pre-med programs around the universe, around the state? Because you want to get them in the pipeline and start thinking about maybe medical school is a good choice.
Yeah, you know, there. I know NMSU has a medicine interest group.
Yes.
And what they'll do is they try to work and partner with, hey, show me what it's like to do this. A lot of times they'll ask our residents, which is always nice to have residents because they're closer
in
to
age,
that time.
That
and, you know, they kind of get excited about that. But, you know, the faculty will go and we'll talk a little bit about what is it to be a family medicine provider. And having people like John, like myself, I moved here in high school to say, I'm from here. I did this. You know, you look like me. You talk like me. You're interested in this. So it's really kind of getting that interest stimulated to them through NMSU.
Early on.
I think through Burrell.
We have them
rotate with us. And that's a way to try to just let them see who you are and what you do.
Absolutely.
And get them excited.
Absolutely.
What's the choice like for a doctor? Why might a doctor choose to do primary care? And why might he or she decide not to?
Mm. That's interesting. You know, primary care. Well, this is one thing that I've been kind of like on a soapbox tour recently, telling everybody how great primary care is. Mm-hmm. But primary care truly is foundational, and it's the only specialty that has been shown to improve health outcomes, to improve population health, to improve health equity, and to reduce cost. People don't go to the hospital. People don't go to the ERs.
Yep.
They are more likely to stay well, to stay healthy, to get immunized, et cetera. And primary care docs, especially family medicine, can fill a lot of gaps. Right now we have an OB desert. We have OB deserts across the state.
Mm-hmm.
Family
mm-hmm.
doctors deliver babies. You know, I used to do C-sections. Dolores still does C-sections. A large percentage of the babies delivered in this community are delivered by family doctors. Which fills those needed voids. So to me, that's exciting, giving back to the community, making a difference. And when students go to medical school, you know, they write a personal statement, and it says I want to make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And you know, so that to me is primary care, and family medicine is a big part of it. Now, weakness. I hate to say this. We don't make as much as other specialists, yeah. Right?
Dermatology, surgeons, yeah, all yeah, those.
Yeah, you know, and there's people that make 3 or 4 times what I make. But I still make – I'm still a one percenter, you know? I make a lot of money. And it's so funny because I hear that argument and I'm like, you're gonna be fine being a family doctor. You're going to make more than enough money.
And it's meaningful. Yeah. It's something you can feel really, really proud of.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, with your community.
And the second thing that's happening right now is this move towards what they call primary care spend, where about 5% nationwide of the money spent in medical is spent on primary care. So 5 cents for every dollar. And
yet that's the most...
Exactly right. Exactly
most
right.
Most important.
And
yes.
So right now we're talking about doubling that spend. And in New Mexico, moving it from 5% to 10%.
Yes. Now, you said that the legislative session put a lot of money then to a graduate medical education, $24 million then,
yes,
to support rural residencies.
Yes.
And then you've got a new facility at UNM's medical school and the ease of licensing so that physicians in other states find it easier to move here.
Yes.
Is there any recruitment at medical schools outside the state to get them to do the residencies here? Is that unusual that you would be able to do something like that?
No, not at all. There's actually a national conference every year. There's multiple national conferences, but there's one for family medicine every year in Kansas City,
uh-huh,
and where all of the residencies go to advertise their wares.
Neat.
I guess,
yes,
you know.
Neat.
And it's very valuable. We have been able to get other students from other places to come, mm-hmm, to Las Cruces to train here. And they've stayed here.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, there's green chili.
Yeah.
You know what?
The
yeah,
food is the
and
best.
And red
chili.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the things that you were just saying, that we spend a lot less on
the thing
family
that would
medicine
really help us the most. Yeah.
Than we do on the – but let me ask a sort of counter question. That's true, but it's also true that some of the other things you inherently cost more. I mean, if I'm coming into you to get stitched up after a motorcycle accident and I haven't been seriously injured, that's one thing. If I'm going to the hospital for a knee replacement or, you know, breast cancer or whatever it may be, you're talking a significant staff, some number of doctors in the room, at least one, probably more than one. I don't know, but there's a hospital room where you can do this kind of thing safely. So there's some justification for the imbalance. How do you analyze that? Whatever.
Yeah, you know, I do think there's some truth to what you're saying. Absolutely, there's some other procedures that are more expensive, but the expenditure is done far more than what you actually get back.
Yes.
For instance, 26% of our spending in healthcare goes to hospitals, mm-hmm, where they treat 3% of the population.
Mm.
But they treat them in some pretty anyway. I don't want to argue. I do want to. You said health equity. That's like the magic word in Groucho Marx's show, and the duck drops down.
Sure.
We're the only. I was going to say we're the only civilized nation that doesn't have universal health care. Mm-hmm. Except the part of that I've decided is inaccurate. We're not a civilized nation. All the civilized nations have it.
Yeah.
How can we get it?
Oh, man. I mean, I think we need to demand it. And that's really true. We need to talk to our legislators. We need, yep, to say how important this is.
We need to say it's a right.
It is.
Healthcare is a right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that right would change our investments in our direction of the funding. We spend $5 trillion a year in the United States on healthcare. And that was in 2024 because guess what? We've stopped looking at how much we spend. But in 2024, we spent $5 trillion. That's $18,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. And that's twice the next industrialized nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are 37th of health outcomes. 37th. They did a study. They did the top 11 industrialized nations, and we were 11 out of 11. We have the worst health outcomes and we spend the most money. And that's part of that hospital discussion, you know. It's the investments in the wrong place.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, you're talking about, yes, it's important. One of the things that we talk a lot about in residencies is about upstream medicine.
Yes.
And yes, you need that orthopedist to fix your knee that's been ailing you. Yes, you need a cardiologist if you're having a heart attack. But the investment in that, rather than investing, how do I keep you from getting there?
Yes.
How do I help you have a healthier lifestyle? How do we help you have your community have roads that you can walk on and you know, paved sidewalks that you can be outside and do things? And that really is essential for primary care. And we're teaching that to residents to say that's an important thing. We know that you're going to still need those other things, but the dollars don't need to be invested in tertiary care. They need to be invested early on to make things better. And that's really what primary care is and what we want to do.
Foundational. I think we're down to 1 minute. Anything we didn't ask that you could answer in 1 minute?
Oh, my gosh. Bring me back.
Hope so.
I hope you are. Well, and I will just say from a residency standpoint, we didn't really touch on it and why residencies are important. I think as a patient, sometimes you think, well, why do I want to go somewhere where somebody's learning, right? But you have like 2, 3, 4 extra set of eyes on you. They are eager. They're curious. They are going to give you excellent care based on evidence. You know, we talk about as we get older, it's like, oh, I'm set in my ways. Well, they're not. They're coming in and they're eager to learn.
And they've learned the newest.
Absolutely. And that's what they do. And it keeps us as faculty on our feet as well. So I would say don't be afraid of coming to a resident because they will offer you some fabulous care. And they're eager and ready to see you.
Thank you. I want to say quickly that we are KTAL LP 101.5 FM, Las Cruces, New Mexico, Las Cruces Community Radio. Got to say that at the top of the hour. And this specifically is Speak Up Las Cruces. We've been talking with Dolores Gomez and John Andazola, both doctors, both very involved in residencies. If people who've been listening to this want to learn a little more about primary care, but particularly about residencies, the importance of them, how we can nurture residencies in our area.
Do you have a website or anything people can go to?
Oh my gosh, there's a million websites. I know our New Mexico Primary Care Training Consortium, NMPCTC, is a great place to just look up. They talk about not just our residency down here. They talk about all the residencies within New Mexico. There's some great pictures. Mario does a great job of really kind of selling what primary care is, you know, through our program, through Memorial. If you type in Memorial, you'll find our program as well. Or if you just type in Southern New Mexico Family Medicine Residency Program, you can find us.
Excellent. Thank you so much.